Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. As you can tell tonight, I'm not in channel. This is Jackie Salvitti with my wonderful guest, Veronica Entwistle, my wonderful guest and friend. Veronica has her own radio program every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m., Radiance by Design. She's a phenomenal psychic healer and works with her guides, an amazing being. I'm always thrilled to work with her.
Thank you.
We have a wonderful show in store tonight.
You sure do. I'm excited.
Yes, Veronica, I am too. Before we begin, I'd like to give the call-in numbers. Hopefully everybody's got a pen and pencil. If not, it's right on the front page of VBS Radio's website. For the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. For Canada, 888-810-8322. And international direct is 530-876-3222. So, Veronica, we're off and running tonight. For those of you who are maybe tuning in for the first time, the energies are coming through your computer. Now, these are healing energies being facilitated. It took a lot for them to create this. If you decline, which you certainly may, to have any form of experience just right now in your own mind, state no thank you, and that will be honored. If you have a desire for healing of specific things, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, just silently state what it is you want, what you're desiring, and open yourself to that. There will never be an invasion or taking advantage of anyone. That's never the goal here. For those of you who've tuned in for the last 2 weeks, not this last week because it was holiday time, but 2 weeks prior to that, Veronica, you were on with me.
Yeah.
We were working on, what they called a sacred dispensation. And I just want to kind of explain that dispensation means outside the law. And what we're talking about is outside the laws of our planet. And sacred means just that, that it was actually ordained. It was not just extraterrestrial, multidimensional beings, but also the masters and the spiritual hierarchy all participating. And it was about forgiveness of self and self-love. And Veronica, you and I have talked about this, and I want people to understand I am human, and like the rest of you, I have been going through my own process, which is why I'm not in channel tonight. I really wanted to talk about the human side of what we're experiencing as a result of these two shows.
And we'd love callers to call in and tell what they experienced as well, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. These shows will be in the archives by the end of the month, and then all shows will be in the archives within 48 hours of airing. So certainly encourage you, if you have an opportunity, to go into the archives when they're up and listen to them if you've missed them. Veronica, you and I have talked about this, and I've had clients call me that this has thrown a lot of people into depression, into life review, sadness. And I want everybody to understand that when they did this, they said, this is an experiment to see what humans will do with it and how they will process through it. In other words, the goal was not to make it too difficult. Veronica, I know you and I have talked. I have been in, interestingly enough, and I want to throw this in, the timing of when they did this is so extraordinary to me because they did it right before the winter solstice. And the winter solstice really is a time of death and rebirth. I just thought it was so interesting how they tied it really all together. It is a time of dying to the old and being reborn into the new. And it's a time when the sun is the lowest in the sky, when we are really at our physical low. you know, where we're not normally nearly as strong as we normally are. And so it was a perfect time for people to review. And I know that it certainly took me into process over the holidays. How about you, Veronica?
Oh, you bet. The way that energy comes through, it really dislodged some core, I guess, reactions that I've had sort of cemented in me, and they moved.
To what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
They dislodged old core reactions that I've had way down deep inside myself. Against, you know, we're talking about forgiveness, like things
Absolutely.
About forgiveness. It doesn't come through easily. It came through in blobs of old stuff kind of eclipsing what I know these days. It was quite powerful.
Interesting. I found with mine, because I was going on holiday for 10 days, and I was with my daughter and grandchildren, and it stirred up a lot of my relationship with my own mother, and which I thought was very, very interesting. And it brought up a lot of shame, a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, a lot of issues around value, self-esteem, boundaries, deep sorrow, you know, just kind of looking at your entire life and, you know, how your childhood formed who you are, and now being able to look at that and possibly change it. Do we have a caller?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I have a question for Jackie.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
This is Albert.
Hi, Albert.
Hi, Jackie.
Albert, can we get you to turn off your radio, please?
Sure, hang on a second. Let me hang on a second. Hi, Jackie. Hello again.
Here, go ahead.
You're a little faint, but I do have a question. I've been working with your information, the ETs, and the healing techniques, and I've had some wonderful experiences in the light and the inner realms, but last night something really different came up. It was very different, so I needed some clarification. In a dream in the astral realm, I saw a woman. She had a beautiful flower and blooms wrapped around her. It was kind of beautiful. And suddenly, the blooms started to suck into her skull, and it turned very dark, a dark vine. And suddenly, I became that woman, and I started choking. The vine covered my started wrapping itself around my body and choking, and I woke up from that astral plane in the physical, having difficulties breathing, and I was going in and out of consciousness. And when I came out of it, I said, oh, hey, I definitely need to talk to Jackie, because it's been a while since I've had this kind of nightmare, and especially now that I'm doing this work, so I would appreciate just a little clarification on what's going on.
All right, Albert, and again, I'm gonna say that we are all kind of going through these basically what I would call dark night of the soul. And some of these things that are coming up are the dark things within us that we haven't dealt with, showing up in different ways, and they can be very disturbing. And I know that you have had personally a lot of experiences where, when we first started working together, that you were dealing with what you felt were astral attacks and so on and so forth. And I think this is probably the last hurrah for you, Albert. Veronica, what's your take, dear?
I feel like he's choked by his past in a way, and I think it's over now. Or, you know, choked by the vine.
Does that help, Albert?
It does. It really does. You feel like this is something generated from my negative ego, more so my negative ego than anything outside. Does that make sense?
No, I think that you, I mean, personally, Albert, I think you've had a lot of things that you've dealt with in this lifetime. You've had some real struggles. And I think what Veronica said is correct. I think this is kind of the last hurrah.
Okay. Actually, that's great. That really is. It's finishing off things.
But it's an old self-suffocating part of your nature that's finishing off.
There you go.
Okay, terrific. Thank you so much, Veronica and Jackie.
Well, thanks for your call.
Okay.
Good talking with you, Albert. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's wonderful to hear people respond to what's been going on with all those deep changes, isn't it?
Well, and Veronica, I'll share one of my clients while I was out of the country was unable to reach me because my phones were not working here properly in the house. And even if they had been, they still wouldn't have been able to reach me. Her computer wasn't working, so she couldn't email me. And she was going through tremendous emotion, cleaning out. She had a situation where she had to empty her apartment so it could be painted, and so was going through all her old belongings, which was stirring up tremendous memory and sorrow and again, a whole cleaning out, a whole dying to the past.
Wow.
And this process, I think, of self-forgiveness and self-love is so deep, and I know that those that listen to those shows were there by divine appointment. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, had she been able to find me, she would have strangled me.
Very like Albert's dream.
Yes, exactly.
that's very powerful. How did she recover? By talking to her?
We chatted on the phone. And, you know, I think when she got clarification as I told her, that I was certainly going through my own process and feeling hugely depressed, and very heavy, and of course I was, you know, in the Mayan ruins, which was a whole nother, we'll do a show on that one. That one was really fascinating, because we ended up actually interfacing in real time with the Mayans.
Wow.
That ascended. And I want to assure everyone that's listening out there that if you're going through a process right now, and if you're going through a lot of sorrow, even anger, things coming up that you really have not wanted to look at, please hang in there. Journal if you can. Process through it. Don't be kind and gentle to yourselves, please. It will pass.
Well, and we want it to pass so thoroughly. It's not a part of our nature anymore, all that old stuff, right?
No, it's really not. And, I mean, I think that this has been a wonderful exploration, and, you know, all of you who participated in this, your higher selves, your soul, your guides are all right there with you as you're walking through all of this. So you're going to see it coming at you in some very interesting ways. And I was very grateful that they did this just before I left the country. So I had 10 days, unfortunately, it was my vacation, to walk through it. And
isn't it interesting, Jackie, that you talked about this client that couldn't find you, and there she was over the holiday having to empty her whole apartment? What kind of a metaphorical relationship is that to deep levels of energy change and self-forgiveness?
Huge.
And then you're over somewhere else with your family, right?
Exactly. And of course, it was triggering me at every turn.
And in a highly historical place, which has something to do with your inner, right?
Absolutely. Well, I have a very big connection with the Mayans, and I've been sent to different places on the earth for specific reasons. This particular one had to do with the ascension process and the ending of time as we know it. It was very big. In addition to everything else I was going through, it was very uncomfortable.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, eh?
So, but I realized in even doing this work that nobody's exempt. I mean, I was, you know, and I really want to share this with people, that even though I channel and I participate in these sessions, it doesn't mean that I don't have to go through my own healing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this evening I really wanted to do this not in channel, so that I could talk to everybody about their process. And I think that I'm starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, which is so wonderful because I know that it's coming finally.
And what is that light, Jackie?
Well, I think that light is coming to a peace and a resolution with all of the ways in which we haven't loved ourselves, and the ways in which we have judged ourselves and been unable to forgive ourselves for everything and anything. You know, I think for me anyway, seeing it through my children or my daughter and my grandchildren certainly was a very big issue, and what I realized as it triggered all of my childhood experiences. It was incredibly big for me.
Mm.
And, you know, what is that on the other side? If we think about this, Veronica, and I don't think it's going to be overnight, but I just look at the amount of wonder that we can allow into our lives when we can fully embrace who we are, without the self-judgment, without the being able to really love ourselves and accept ourselves as we are. And I think it's what we've all been looking for all along. But I think this certainly has been, and I think that they will do this again. I think those that have been participating in this were the first ones. I don't use the word guinea pig because I hate that. But, you know, I think it was an agreement that we've all had to say, yes, we'll participate in this. We're willing to walk through it because we know that by doing it, we're the first ones. We're making the map. You know, here we go back to being the map maker. Those that do this again with them, well, it'll be a lot, I think, easier for them. I don't think it will be quite as difficult. Now, you said, Veronica, that you've been dealing with a lot of deep core things as well, and that's how I feel. It's been core. It's been the things that have literally sat in there that have held me back from personally from having all the things that I really want.
Yeah, I think it has so much to do with our manifestation, which is why it is also very interesting to see what your location was as you were dealing with it.
Oh,
well, that
it was,
is a part of the manifestation, isn't it?
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Well, the entire when we went to the runes, what was very interesting to me was the minute that we literally walked onto the property. We went through the marketplace where they were selling things. The energies hit us. I was there with Jacqueline, who is a dear friend and also a client, and the energies hit us at the same time, and we could barely breathe. And they were overwhelmed, and I was kind of gone. I said to Jacqueline, once we got through the ruins and so on and came out, then the information just started coming through. And Jacqueline had nothing to write on, but, you know, we were interfacing in non-time, if you will, with them directly. And actually triggering what it was a grid, Veronica, that ran from the ruins that we were at. From there, I could not have done Chichen Itza. I'm so glad I didn't go. We were in Tulum, which was a commercial port. But literally, there's a grid work that runs through all of the Mayan ruins, and it lit up. Now, I did this in Belize, interestingly enough, 10 years ago. And I was at the four pyramids, the sun, the moon, the earth, and the sky, and did not realize that that was the initial triggering. But when this happened, when we were in Tulum, literally the entire grid work of all of the pyramids, the Mayan pyramids, lit up. And we were literally activating all of those places. Very similar to, let's say, with Christ, and there was a seeding of the planet at that time in preparation for this ascension period. Likewise, with the Mayans, there was a trigger in terms of, this is why their calendar ends. This is the information I was given, that this is the reason their calendar ends, because they conquered time. Their whole, all of their work, the majority of their work was all around time, how everything worked. And they actually had a machine, Veronica, that traced all of the planets. And they're now trying to duplicate this. It's actually been found. One has been found. And to duplicate it is taking all kinds of work because it is so phenomenal.
Wow.
It was actually a working mechanism. And so what was so fascinating is dealing with them in another dimension, because there is no time. They still exist. And seeing the grid work of all of these pyramids light up. And it literally, you know, I don't know that I have all the information yet. And in a channeling that I did tonight with Jacqueline, who was with me, they were explaining the process, and they said, we won't give it all to you now because you'll miss the fun of the self-discovery. So I thought that was very interesting. But, yes, it was very big. And I've always had a huge connection to the Mayans, so I found that very interesting myself.
Do you find a rapport between a lot of the energy releasing that's been going on, like the self-forgiveness and so on, and your cellular journey connected to your Mayan time?
Probably, yes. Mm-hmm. Probably, yes. There is a, that's really interesting that you bring that up, because when I went to the four pyramids in Belize, I was dying.
Oh, really?
I was physically dying. I got back on a plane within 15 minutes of death. And when I went, I knew that I was, at that moment, they said, if you make this trip, you may not make it. And so I was under a very tight time schedule. They had to push me up the pyramid. And I was sent with all kinds of antibiotics and all different kinds of things to treat me, but it wasn't enough. And it was very serious. I hadn't even thought about that till we're talking about it right now. So I was sitting on the edge of death when I was there.
And do you feel like it was the actual vibration of that grid and that position in Belize it was at that time?
No, I was sick before I left.
Okay, so what was the influence of Belize?
I really don't know. I had to be there for a business meeting. I had people flying in from different parts of the world. Therefore, I had to leave. I was on a turnaround from New York back to Las Vegas and to Belize. And the doctor said, you cannot go. And I said, I have to go. I have people already in the air. And but literally, when I came back from Belize, I had to go there, do my business, meet with the government. I literally, from the time I flew back and got onto the doctor's table and had surgery, they told me I was within 15 minutes of death.
Oh, my.
I didn't realize that till just now. So it's interesting that we're kind of going through this, another death, if you will, of the old, and I'm back in Mayan territory again.
But you didn't come back sick this time. You came back well-er?
Yes, I came back well. I just came back, you know, again, going through this another form of death, I think.
How interesting.
Now, if we have anybody who's wanting to call in and talk about their own process, we're certainly happy to have you do so. And Veronica, you and I talked earlier about, is there anything else you wanted to talk about on this?
Well, we probably should give the numbers again.
Okay, good. All right. For the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-810-8322. And International Direct, 530-876-3222.
I'm delighted we have International Direct, because I didn't think we had that before.
I just saw it on the...
Isn't that
kind
exciting?
Of surprised too. Thank you, Don.
No, I don't need to say anything else about it, except that I'm very intrigued by the process of, for example, the self-forgiveness and how it leaves room for self-love, but how that energy just keeps transform, it keeps moving and transforming, and even though it's been uncomfortable for a while, it's getting lighter and freer for me, and I feel like it's really
exactly
taking hold.
You know, what I've seen, even when we do sessions on people, when they take people into process now, Veronica, they hold the energy for them to move very rapidly through things, and even though I studied with Dolores Cannon to do her form of regressions, what I have seen with the way they hold the energy, for some reason, they accelerate the process. We have a caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hi, Jackie. This is Joanne. I've been working with you a couple of times, and the holidays actually were a very difficult time for me after the dispensation. Hello?
Hello. We can hear you, Joanne.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, dear.
Yeah, it was just like a lot of sorrow. It was just like a lot of just overwhelmed with crying and a lot of sense of helplessness and all that. It was just like, it was kind of painful, actually, just feeling all that.
You know, and, Joanne, and I know who you are, darling, and, you know, again, you have such wonderful desires for your life, and I think it's marvelous. I'm sorry that you had such a difficult time. But the process, in order for you to open up, to really receive all the good that's out there for you, when you look back on this, you're going to really be grateful that you walked through it. Did anything specifically come up, Joanne, or just sorrow in general, honey?
just a lot of sorrow, very intense. Just like a lot of feelings of helplessness, and it was just very difficult.
Did it release itself, Joanne?
It did, actually. I felt better, afterwards. Yeah. But it was a few days of it. It was just very intense. I didn't know where it was all coming from.
I would say to you that it's going to get better and better every day now. You may have little blips, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of come with the territory, I think, Veronica, don't you, that just little things may come up?
Yeah, because we're such infinite beings.
Yes, we are.
Such amazing critters. That well is deep, Joanne. But it looks like you made a huge difference, but I feel like you're going to come up with a bit of a deluge yet, and then I think you're going to find the clarity in moving forward that you haven't had before. You'll notice then, but it seems to take a little while yet.
Oh, I see.
I would agree with you, Veronica. I do think, Joanne, you've got a little bit more to go.
Don't stop it. Just cry a lot.
Absolutely. And, I had a friend say something to me today, and I'll pass it on to you, Joanne, because I thought it was very appropriate. She said, when you're in a funk, Jackie, don't make any decisions. Don't try to figure anything out. Just walk through it. And I was like, yes, I know. I agree with you. So I adopted that attitude today, and it all lightened up a lot. So, Joanne, I would say to you, darling, just walk through it. You and Albert, are kind of walking through this together, aren't you?
Yes.
Right. So, also in your case and in Albert's case, you have also a lot of, you carry very strong lineage, very strong nationality and lineage. You're also doing a lot of clearing for that lineage as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of sorrow for your people.
Right.
And, we've talked about that in your sessions. And for people who are listening out there, many of you, especially in this lifetime, are clearing for your race, your nationality. I do a lot of people who are of Jewish descent, and we see a lot of that in Jewish people, in Asians, in a lot of the Arab countries, the Muslim countries. So, some of this isn't even yours, Joanne,
mm-hmm.
but you are clearing it, and it's going to be so much better when you're through it.
All right.
And I know you have some exciting things ahead for you also.
Thank you. So when
right,
it comes
sweetheart.
Up, just let it all pour out, basically.
That's right.
All right.
Don't judge it.
Do you dance, Joanne?
No, I don't.
Because I feel like I want you to really move your body and get things shaken up.
Okay.
And sometimes that can be a lot of fun, right?
Right.
Even if you're upset.
Yeah. All right, then.
Don't be afraid of it.
Right.
Joanne's pretty courageous. She is pretty courageous. Joanne, blessings to you, dear.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Veronica.
And, you can always email me if you have any other questions.
All right, then.
Thank you so much for calling in.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Wonderful to have callers, isn't it?
Oh, yes, and these such sweet people.
Yeah.
All of them. I love humans.
Well, I still, the more work I do, the more I go, we are amazing critters. Our potential is so astounding.
Oh.
We're just breaking the codes now, aren't we?
Veronica, the Scott, there's limitlessness. There is no limit to where we can go.
Yeah.
And this is the time. And, walking through this kind of sorrow and processing can feel awful. But when it moves those big chunks out of the way to allow you to create what you really wanted in your life, it's worth it.
Yeah, it's like it just pivots your whole life, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, as we talked earlier tonight, I have a totally different subject that I wanted to talk about tonight, but certainly if any other callers want to call in, we'll go back to this subject. We're happy to hear from you. while I was in Cancun, I brought a book with me, written by someone that I've known for about 10 years. I don't know her intimately, but she came and spoke at my home 10 years ago. Her name is Angela Thompson. She has several PhDs. She's done a tremendous amount of work in the Psi world, and she now has a remote viewing clinic in Boulder City and also in Scotland. She's really considered one of the foremost people out there in remote viewing. She worked for someone here in Las Vegas who has funded a tremendous amount of investigative work on UFOs and ETs. She's been associated with Dr. John Mack and many other scientists that I have great respect for. She wrote a book called Diary of an Abduction, and it's now out of print. However, you can order it on Amazon Used or Albris. It was actually her journal that she kept for about 12 years. At the time I met her, I did not know she was having these experiences. And I really want to talk to people tonight. This is such an uncomfortable subject for people, and I would like to bring some light to it, Veronica. And this is to the abduction experience. I'll clarify here, I do not work with the Greys, all right? Not because I think they're bad or wrong. They are not part of my team, what I call my team, which is huge.
So the Greys are like a nationality of ET?
Yes, they're a race.
Okay.
The Greys are the Zeta Reticuli. They are a race. They're the little ones that you see depicted just about everywhere with the big almond eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 4 feet tall, kind of spindly in body, large head. And they have been doing abductions on Earth for about, or detainments, as some people prefer to call them, since about the 50s. They have been fascinated by our race. They are not any longer able to procreate. Their goal was to create a hybrid race between the humans and the Greys. Many of my clients have had detainment experiences, and I suspect that I have as well, by the way, when I was younger.
How do you find out if you have?
Well, generally, and I would give you several things that are pretty close signs. One is consistent nightmares as a child, and they usually involve being chased. There are usually three beings chasing them. They can either see them as men, owls, wolves, but generally the number is three, Veronica.
Okay.
Afraid of the dark, consistent nightmares, a feeling of being frozen in their bed. Those are pretty much the because these begin very young, okay? They come really to the fore anywhere between 5 and 8 years of age, and then go through very intense interactions in, I would say, anywhere from 17 to 25.
You mean the abductions start around 3 or 5 years
yes,
old?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to explain to people what I know to be true, or at least this is what I perceive at this point. Angela certainly addressed it in her book. I don't think she did not address the contract aspect of it, and this is where I want to explain to people. No one is abducted unless they have agreed to it prior to coming into the incarnation and or detained. And from the other side of the veil, it sounds like a really good idea. The reason being this. Their goal is to create a hybrid race to make certain that the human seed goes on. Our planet, from the time that we began the atomic bomb issue, became an iffy situation on whether or not we would self-destruct. And so, you know, the UFOs that have been seen so much around the military bases and so on have been primarily the Greys. monitoring. I mean, there are situations where they've shut down the Minuteman missiles, shut down everything down in the tunnels all at one time on two different bases in the same evening. Hmm. At any rate, I wanted to talk about this a little bit tonight for people who have had these experiences or think that they've had them. When we do sessions, we give people an option. If they want to end the contract, at that time we end the contract. If, in fact, they suspect
the contract with the Grays?
I'm sorry?
The contract with the Grays?
Correct.
Okay.
Uh-huh. If they suspect that they have had hybrid children, which means, in essence, this, Veronica, they would have taken human seed from the female. Generally, they will impregnate the seed. In other words, they don't actually have sex with you. That's not the purpose. They impregnate the seed. They put it into the womb of the female. She'll carry it anywhere from 30 to 45 days, sometimes up to 2 months. And then it's taken out. So if some people are aware of having missed periods or possibly aborting, not certain, but strange situations like that. Some people have participated in this and had numerous hybrid children, you know, 3, 5. Some only may have one. But my experience to date has been that people, once we get into this, are very much aware of the fact that they do have them. There is always a connection between mother and child. Likewise with men. They take the semen of the men and they impregnate then a gray female. So it's a little different with the men because all they do is take their semen. Now, I'm not talking about this to frighten anybody tonight. I'm trying to bring some light to it so that people can get a little more comfortable with the experience because it has been going on. It's still going on. Not quite as much, but still going on. The purpose for this, and this was something in talking with Angela, I called her after I read the book, and she's now in direct telepathic communication with a gray who had participated in abducting her. And she asked them, you know, several questions, and has had ongoing conversations in the telepathic communication, one of which was, why do you do this? And their answer was, we don't understand why humans are upset by this. They should be excited that these children will be the explorers of the universe, that they are carrying the human seed out into the universe. Now, what the Grays have done, they've done some genetic alterations with some of these pregnancies and are creating future races. This is a very big orchestration.
But wait a minute, I've heard some, now this could be mythical tales of people being distorted or hurt by these abductions.
Okay.
Is that just fallacy? Is that just...
Now, here's the way I'll address this. It can be frightening for humans to be on a metal operating table, if you will, or an examining table, and be examined. There can be a lot of fear involved because you can't respond. They try to screen the memory so that you don't remember. Now, a lot of people have brought this back up during the regression process with various regressionists. Dolores Cannon certainly is one of the most active, well, there are several others. I can't think of them right now. Unfortunately, it depends on the level of regression that people go into.
Mm-hmm.
With Dolores, she takes people into the somnambulistic state. Now, Dolores is on BBS Radio. She's written at least 13 books. I would recommend her book, The Custodians, to anyone who suspects that they have had an abduction experience. Dolores' encounters, and she's done thousands and thousands of these regressions. Her philosophy is, and this is my direct conversation with Dolores, I've done work with Dolores myself, is that she has never, when she takes people under, they think that they have been hurt, but when she gets them into the somnambulistic state, which is the deepest state there is, they actually, one woman thought her breast had been burned, and all it had happened is that they brushed against it by mistake. But the human mind, again, is trying to convert these things. So Dolores's encounter and all of her experiences with all the regressions that she has done, there has never been any real negative experience. Much to the, you know...
Well, that's shocking.
I'm sorry?
That's shocking.
Well, I think it's very interesting. And I had a personal session with Bashar, who is an Esasani, actually a future race that is a hybrid between the Greys and the humans, genetically engineered.
Hmm.
In essence, we are related, okay? And I talked to Bashar specifically about working with some of the people I've worked with that have been abducted, and that many of them are very angry initially. They feel violated, and we try to work with healing all of these emotions so that they can go move beyond it. And they do come to a point of being okay with it. And what Bashar said is that it's very important to allow them to do that.
Hello there.
Hi, we have a caller.
Hi, this is Dr. Valerie.
Yes.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys talking about the Greys and such, and I had an experience with them, oh gosh, from the age of 3.
Wow.
They used to come into my room every night with a little Mr. Peanut character.
Right.
And, of course, my parents told me I was just dreaming, and I said, but I wasn't asleep. I was sitting up in bed. And they kept telling me, no, you were dreaming. You just don't know about it. And I was terrified of Mr. Peanut. And then, you know, years went by, and I've had a very strange life. And then I was reading Whitley Strieber's book, and he talked about how the Greys would come in with the Mr. Peanut character.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I went into hyperventilation. I put the book down. I paced around. And so, for years, I've had, you know, really vivid memories of all this kind of stuff going on. And I don't actually remember being hurt, but I do remember being terrified because of being put in kind of a white fog, and it was very chemical smelling. And there was nothing that you could see. It was very white, very opaque.
Were you able to move?
No.
Yeah, that's, this is very common, and it is, you know, again, it's so outside of what you understand that for a child it can be terrifying.
Oh, it was.
And now, Dr. Valerie, were you aware of, or have you had any sensing that you may have parented any children?
No, I've never had that feeling, but I had the feeling as I grew up that I never wanted to have children.
Okay, that's usually, again, I don't want to mislead anybody or lead them into it, but my experience, just so that you're aware, with most of the people that have, well, not all, a good portion, I'll rephrase that, of the people who've had these experiences, they generally don't want to have children or are really put off by the thought of having children.
Well, that's interesting.
And generally they do have hybrid children. I know I have a very close friend. Her daughter opened when I did, and she has a full portal in her home as well. And poor Brittany, her daughter, has had numerous experiences with a variety of races that were going back and forth between our homes, actually, mine and hers. And her mother is, you know, very aware that she feels that she has, there were some that were on the side of the bed that she felt were actually her children.
Wow.
And, you know, I the reason I brought this all up tonight, Dr. Valerie, I think for people that, first of all, to validate these things for people, I think is so important. To remove some of the mystique, which I think is also important.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question, Dr. Valerie?
Sure.
How has it impacted your adult life? I mean, you're a doctor, is that right?
Yes, I'm. In fact, I have a show on BBS also.
Oh, great.
Yes,
and I have the only public access quantum physics room in the U.S. using Dr. Fred Bell's devices.
Great.
So I get to see a parade of ETs coming through here every now and then.
So it's impacted your life by creating that association as you became mature, right?
Well, and not only that, I came into a lot of psychic powers when I was a teenager that really terrified me because they were the kinds of things you usually only read about. And I had no one to instruct me, and, you know, it was pretty painful. And, of course, I went through my parents thinking I was crazy. And, this just does not compute to my parents. And, you know, I would do scientific experiments where I would have six or seven of my friends sitting in the room, and I would say, I'm going to do something. And I gave them all notebooks and pens and stuff. I said, write down everything that you experience. Don't talk to each other until it's all over. And they said, okay. And so I'd have them all write everything down. And I'd perform these little feats, and everybody would write everything down, and we'd compare notes afterwards, and they all matched. And then, you know, after that, I had a boyfriend who was in the Army, and he said, oh, you know, you're just imagining that, and that's just what you wanted. I said, really? I said, well, I did it scientifically. You know? Mm-hmm. He said, oh, no, it's all mass hysteria. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I didn't believe him for a minute. And then I had cause to call one of my old friends from way back, and I said, hey, you know, do you remember what we did at these times? And I said, oh, yeah, that was the freakiest thing I ever saw. I said, okay, I just wanted to be sure that it wasn't all in my mind, you know.
Well, do you think, Jackie, that it does open people?
Dr. Valerie and Veronica, yes. Part of the exchange, okay, you know, we talk about an exchange of energy, okay? Even when you perform a service for someone, there's an exchange of energy through money or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, when they have done this work with people, there has always been some benefit to the humans. They aren't always able to see it initially. But my experience so far with so many of the people that I've worked with is that they do have tremendous gifts as a result of their experiences.
Hmm,
and now a lot of them... I'm going to add this piece, Dr. Valerie. I don't want to go too far with this because, and I'm sure you understand this one, and I know you do as well, Veronica. In Angela's book, she talked about, because she was working at Psi Labs and so on that were funded by various government agencies,
mm-hmm.
there were follow-up experiences by government people.
Mm-hmm.
And she had follow-up abductions by government people, not just by the ETs. Now, not everyone has that experience.
Hmm.
But there has been a curiosity on the part of our government in terms of what happens to these people.
You mean the government abducted the people?
Yes. They are followed, they are monitored, etc.
That'd be scary.
Well, that is one, and I have not seen that with any of my clients, just so you understand. I'm not saying that this happens to everyone.
Yeah, I don't remember anything like that happening, but then, you know, nobody really knew that any of this stuff was happening to me.
Well, I think, Dr. Valerie, there are so many people have had abduction experiences, so many more than we realize on the planet. What I found fascinating in my work is how many of my clients have had them.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, it's an energy stamp for me. I can talk to someone on the phone anymore, and I know in a minute, but I have to be careful. I don't want to mislead them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have specific questions that I do ask. So you never had children?
No.
And you had no desire to have them?
No.
Right.
Nope, not at all. And it was funny. I felt really, really strongly about it to the point where I ended up getting a tubal ligation when I was 24.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, the doctor said, well, we don't want to do that. You might want to have children. I said, no, I absolutely don't. I have never wanted to have children. And
well,
I always thought that was kind of weird. And in fact, it seems very strange to me still. And I'm 56 almost, you know, and it still seems really strange to me when people have kids. It's like I look at them and I think, that must be the weirdest experience in the world.
Well,
and
it is,
it's like
it
just doesn't compute.
Yes.
Well, I don't understand it, you know?
You know, Dr. Valerie and I have had people who have had children, and their children are having experiences as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people who their parents have had them, their grandparents have had them, a lot of times it will run in the family,
mm-hmm.
but it's always by agreement.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, an agreement was made prior to your incarnation.
Yeah, I've had people, I live in Sedona, so of course I have lots of people that do this stuff all around me.
Yes.
And I've had quite a few of them say, well, you know, it's actually the Pleiadians. And I said, well, then how come I had all the grays around me when I was a kid? And they said, well, you've got a lot of different ETs visiting you. But they said, now the Pleiadians, actually there's one branch of the bad Pleiadians, apparently.
The Pleiadians
did
what?
Some branch of Pleiadians that's negative. They said that I've had a couple people telling me this. Well, they're using you like an information source, and they just scan you and they gather information from you, and they tricked you into this millennia ago. And I said, well, that's not okay.
They use you as an. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you. They're using you as an information source. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Apparently, they put me on some kind of a pedestal, and they scan me, and they get information. And I've had kind of a wild life, you know, I do all kinds of things and have lots of experiences. And I guess that I'm kind of desirous of that because of this information gathering thing.
Well, I would ask, I would say this, there are different people came in with different purposes, and what I have come to understand personally is that I'm certainly more ET than I am human. I mean, I really relate more to my extraterrestrial lifetimes than I do to any human lifetime, maybe
mm-hmm.
one or two here. And, you know, my agreement, and I know this is one I had in place, and Bashar and I talked about this, that any race could come to see me in the dream state, and I am like you, where they actually get information based on what I'm doing and so on and so forth. They see through my eyes, they hear through my ears. I have no problem with that because I look at it from the bigger perspective, which is we're a race evolving. We are such a unique race. You know, we are greatly loved because this is a very difficult experiment, you know, to completely forget who we are and come into a third dimensional body.
Yeah.
And we have so much help. And if I think this is really about an ambassadorship, Dr. Valerie and Veronica. I think this is about taking away all the scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we project onto other races our own shadow stuff. Dark, light, good, bad, right, wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if we were more open to a greater understanding of, okay, we're part of a multi-universal society, and we're just now awakening. We can't even get along on our own planet with other countries.
Yeah, that's for sure.
They don't necessarily either, do they?
I'm sorry?
They don't necessarily either get along on their own planet with their own beings.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Not at all.
Okay.
My personal experience has not been that. Are there some renegades out there? A few. But overall, everything is much different than what we perceive. You know, we've heard so much about the fall and this and that and the other thing and, you know, galactic wars. And I would say that that's more our projection than reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anybody that's listening to this show right now, and Dr. Valerie, you included, and Veronica, I'm absolutely convinced that we have been involved. I've always referred to myself as the Interuniversal Green Beret.
Mm-hmm.
I've done this on thousands of planets.
Mm-hmm.
This is not
Yeah, I have
first
that feeling,
one.
Too.
I'm sorry?
Me, too.
Yes. And so, you know, we're here for Earth right now to help Earth evolve to her higher level, okay, and to open Earth up to its membership in a much greater society. And
yeah, I agree. I think the time is ripe for that.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think it's absolutely right for that. And my goal is to eliminate some of the fear. I mean, the little grays, you know, are doing what they came here to do. They are, you know, they have their job, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have been afraid of them. You know, there was one man I heard speak at a UFO conference in Laughlin. I had spoken with him several years before, and he was a presenter on his own talking about his experiences. And he was on a table aboard ship, and he somehow found the strength to break the freeze on him, okay? And he sat up and he said, look, I will help you, but I want to do it on my terms. I'm not going to be a victim. And they spun around and looked at him and went, wow, how'd you do that? I mean, you know, they're basically communicating telepathically. They really want us to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're as much afraid of us as we are of them, because humans can be very volatile.
Oh, yeah.
And
so what do we do to protect ourselves and keep our ambassadorship eye to eye or whatever?
Well, Veronica, very simply, if you haven't already had abduction experiences, you're not going to have them. It's not like they're going to show up at your house tonight.
Okay.
You know, people who have agreed to this, it started out a very long time ago. You know, in my case, I've had a tracking device on my arm all my life. You know, it's from the first time I have memory, okay? I was aware, and you can still feel it. And you know, I'd be out on a golf course and say to my girlfriend, I'm on screen right now. I can feel it. And my arm would heat all up and, you know, swell up. And I just knew.
I haven't had anything like that.
Well, yours, you know, again, I've been monitored by many different races because of what I do and what I was supposed to do. I just had a different agreement, Dr. Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I can honestly say to you, there are sometimes when I go to sleep at night, but initially when all this work began, where I would get uncomfortable, I would know somebody was coming, I didn't know who or what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to peace with it now, and I've also sent out the message that, look, you may come as long as you come in peace, and if there's some information I can give to you, you know, I'm happy to do so, but I don't want to have any fear. And so, you know, I've come to peace with it all. Now, my son has a hard time sleeping at my house.
Yeah, see, I have no problem with the ones that come in peace. But I've had experience here in Sedona where I had an actual portal of the less light ones that were coming in and disturbing me in the middle of the night. And they were outright attacking me. And I said, look, this is not okay. You know, I refuse to have this happen in my own house. This is my sanctuary. You have to stay out. And basically what it was they just figured that they could come in. And I guess there's things that we do sometimes for other races in the universes that some of the other races don't quite like. And you know, I had an emissary an Iagerian emissary, according to Dr. Bell.
I'm sorry.
Iagerian. And it looked like the creature from the Black Lagoon, only he was glowing with this golden white light. And he was humanoid, you know, but had the gills and everything else. He was right outside my window. And I found myself at 3 o'clock or so in the morning standing there barefoot outside talking with him.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And you know, it was fine, you know, it was very nice. We had a nice conversation and he told me it was my time to do all this stuff, and I said, okay, that's fine. Then he happily went on his way, and I went on my way, and that was the end of it. And then I've had Andromedans that were in my house. Gosh, every morning when I woke up, they were all crowded around, and I'd come out in the kitchen and go, what are you guys doing here? And then after I put together all the devices in the quantum physics room, then they disappeared. And I called up Fred Bell, and I said, hey, Fred, what's going on? You know, I had all these Andromedans, you know, in my house, and now they're all gone. He said, oh, well, those are the lower-level Andromedans, and now you have to raise your vibration so that you can communicate with higher-level ones. I said, yeah, but I feel lonesome.
Well, and, you know, I'll just throw this out there for people who are listening tonight. Command Central, especially right now, it is a central point. If, in fact, you ever have anyone or any presence in your home and you're uncomfortable, you can literally call on Command Central and ask, if this being does not belong here, please ask it to leave. And it will be asked to leave within an instant. Now, if it does not leave, then that you have some agreement going on.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's got a portal, you know, this is where you want to really set protocol on your portal.
Yeah, and I did, and finally we were able to close it. But I had several people that said, oh, I can close portals, and they came over and tried, and they were unable to. And I said, listen, these things are waking me up in the middle of the night, attacking me, and, you know, that's not okay.
Well, you don't need to close the portal, Dr. Valerie. You just need to put protocol on it.
Mm-hmm.
And protocol is only being – I was in a home that had an open portal, and there were even thought forms floating around,
mm-hmm.
literally.
Wow.
It was like a zoo, and I got up the next morning and called in the team, and we put protocol on the portal, and it just totally shifted everything. Mm-hmm. And now only those beings that are allowed come in. It's very calm now, and up until that time, they had a year of total chaos. I don't know how the heck anybody even slept in that house.
I can understand that.
I think our time is up, Jackie.
Okay. Dr. Valerie,
well, thank you so
nice
much, Jackie. I really appreciate that.
Talking with you.
Wonderful to meet you. We could catch your show. When is your show?
I'm sorry, what?
When is your show?
My show is on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Wonderful. We'll have to listen to it.
Yeah, it's called the Enlightened Medicine Show.
Great. Mm. I see it right here, Dr. Valerie Olmsted.
Yep.
Dr. Valerie, thank you. And Veronica,
thank you.
For all the listeners, would you please give your website here?
www.veronicaentwistle.com and tune in on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thanks, Jackie.
Absolutely. And for those interested in ET Healing, it's www.ethealing.com. We thank you all for listening tonight. We send you all a great, wonderful, happy new year. And we send our blessings to everyone. Thank you so much, Veronica. Thank you for being with me tonight.
Thank you so much.
And Dr. Valerie, thank you for calling in.
Yeah,
and for the other callers as well. Good night.
Good night.